Every Christian, as they seek to work for the Lord, whatever you're trying to do for him and helping out perhaps in a little way, or maybe you're someone who's involved more in the work, whether you're an elder or a committee man or someone who comes along and helps to let people in who are working with the alarm or whatever the case might be. Whatever you do, we are always aware that we have our own inner conflicts. And sometimes those inner conflicts come about because, essentially because of our feeling and our awareness of our own weakness. And when those inner conflicts that perhaps what have you think, well, will I or won't I? I've never done this before. Should I? Will it be willing to do this in the Lord's work as I don't know anything about it and I've never done it? All of those kinds of conflicts that we know about, sometimes they prevent us from aiming high. They prevent us from aiming high and wanting to attempt much for God. It's all very well, I suppose, to say, you know, that we should attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. And that is true, but putting it into practice is a different story. But nonetheless, I believe that the Lord would have us to aim high, not by way of personal achievement, but aim high as far as trying to do what we can for him. I was reading in 1 Samuel in chapter 25. I'll just read you what it says there in verse 38. It says, "And it came to pass about 10 days after," this is when Nabal died. It says that the Lord smote Nabal and he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. When you look at that verse and what David had to say, and you take a wee minute or two to study the context and what David might have done, but he didn't do, and he looked to the Lord, and the Lord moved in a most remarkable way. I was looking at these verses and I thought, well, what the Lord did here was much more than just deal with an individual and help his man David. The Lord really changed the whole landscape. He literally changed the landscape at that time. And today, folks, his power is still able to help you to preserve his work and to alter the landscape spiritually. And every one of you, including me, as we do seek to do what we can for the Lord, always never lose sight of this. Whatever you seek to do for God, you're working on the very edge of enemy territory. Because you're trying together, and individually as well, to gain ground for the Lord. And that is a hard thing. And yet every congregation, every evangelical congregation like this, we can look forward to knowing his power. When you think, and I just mentioned at this time, of last Sunday night and all the things we asked for, and the week before that what we asked for, and all that the Lord did, why is he not able to do much more than that? Well, he is. And he's able to alter the landscape spiritually. Yes, you're laboring on the very edge of enemy territory, therefore it is going to be hard and it's going to be difficult work, but the Lord is able to help the congregation to look forward. And I was thinking this past week that any congregation in the right sense can look forward only as they look up. They can look forward as they look up to him. Not limiting him, doing the very best that we can, encouraging one another in the work, coming along the best we can, and looking to him to enable us to do his bidding and to help us at every turn. Psalm 66, The psalmist here is full of joy for all that the Lord has done. Do you see what he says in verse 5? Come and see the works of God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Come and see the works of God. It's great to be able to say in any nation, you know, to say that the Lord is doing a great work. Men and women are being saved. People are being reached. God's people are being helped and led on. And we're, it's marvelous in our eyes. We want to see those days, folks. And certainly we thank God for mercy drops, but we believe the Lord is able to do much more. He says in verse 8, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. He's encouraging them here not only to be a people who are mindful of what God can do, but to be a merry people, to be a happy people who are rejoicing in the Lord in all of his goodness. Then he says something which really brings me to the title this morning. He says in verse 9, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. If I can just turn a few pages and read what it says in Psalm 84 and verse 10. Lovely words in this Psalm 84. It says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper. And the word there, doorkeeper, means to keep yourself at the threshold, or just to be there at the door of God's house. To be, rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of great wickedness. That psalm is showing us that there is great blessing for our own soul in seeking to do what we can for the Lord. Denise made out a little list there. And if you want to help with the children's meetings, we'd certainly like to talk to you about that. We don't know how many boys and girls are coming along. We could end up with a dozen. It could be three times that. We don't know what'll be here on a Tuesday night. But we know whatever's here, the need reached and helped if they're young Christians. And you might have a place there if you'd like to do that. The blessing that it brings to our own soul in seeking to serve him. But we need upheld. We need upheld. And maybe in your own personal circumstances, you felt your feet had slipped nearly. See what it says there? Which upholdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Sometimes I felt the feet were going to move. And you have as well. And you've been brought to that point where you recognize there's an inner conflict here that's telling me I can't do it. And it's because God's work is always going to be stressful in some degree. It is always going to mean responsibility in some way. And it is going to be going right to the edge of enemy territory, trying to win men and women and boys and girls for the Lord. And that's not going to happen without a conflict. And therefore, we need to be upheld. And I've given a title to the message this morning, and it is simply Learning to Lean. Learning to Lean. Because if we are upheld by him, then we're leaning on him. I could be talking to one today, and maybe you have a burden this morning that you didn't have yesterday. Well, I trust today that you'll even be helped to lean. I want to say, first of all, as we consider learning to lean, leaning will help us serve him by faith. Now, the Lord's care for his people and his love displayed toward them in our circumstances will always be suited to our circumstances and to our needs. Sometimes we get that wrong. We think, well, what if I tried to do that and then I have need? Well, you don't have that need right now. But if you do seek to do what you can for the Lord, whatever your need and circumstances are, meet your need then. And his care is suited to your circumstances and needs. And sometimes I've spoken to people who have been, think of one person who was elderly, very elderly, and quite sick. And they said something, I may have mentioned this to you before, something that I've never forgotten. It was actually when I was helping Reverend Johnson in Armagh. It was a man I was going to see in a home. and for a long time. And he said, "I have a great peace, Mr. Salt, because I know that with God's arms underneath, I can only go down so far. With God's arms underneath, I can only go down so far." And there he was in this residential care, and I used to go in to see him, and we'd have a chat while he was able to talk. And then, but he had learned to lean. He had learned to lean. And he knew that that leaning would help him continue to look to the Lord by faith, to serve by faith. Over in Deuteronomy, because, folks, let's face it, if we're going to be serving only by what we see, we'll not do very much. The day is dark, plenty of discouragements about. It says over there in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25, this is to Asher. It says in verse 25, "Concerning them, thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." There you have it. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." He's saying to Asher, you're not going to get shown the strength today that you need in 3 months' time, because you don't need it now. You'll need it then, and you'll get it. "But as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And see, we can really take that on board, folks. It really gives us a peace in our hearts and a contentment in knowing that we do live by faith. We're serving by faith. It says in the next verse, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heavens and is and in thy help, and his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And Asher was to learn to lean. They were to serve by faith, but leaning would help them to serve by faith. And sometimes in God's work, you need faith. We always need faith in the work. Sometimes you need great faith. You think, and I mention this man often, no apology for that, is Elijah. And he prayed for the rain, or for the drought, and it came all right. But then he prayed for the rain, and nothing happened. And he prayed again and again and again, and he sent a servant 7 times. And then there was a little cloud. And in any area of work, I feel that it would be very possible to give up before you've tried it 7 times. And be easy to think, well, it's just not going to happen. But the Lord knows all about the circumstances of his work. He knows, as we often say to ourselves, the beginning from the end. And I want you to know and to remember that there's nothing in God's work that surprises him. Sometimes you and I may be surprised, and it may be surprised in a way that is encouraging, or surprised in a way that knocks the heart out of you a little bit. But he's not surprised. He's not surprised by the circumstances. And in your life, in your social life, in your business life, in your work life, there may be things come along and they've caused you a sleepless night or two. And that's what life is like sometimes. They've caused you a sleepless night or two because you've been surprised. Well, he's not surprised. And he knows all about them circumstances. But when them circumstances are there, we need to be leaning on him. We need to be remembering the words here in the Psalm 66 where it says, "Which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved." And as we serve, I know I won't be here the next 2 Sundays, and I will miss the congregation. I have said that to the folk before, to go away for 5 weeks holidays that I'm entitled to, take that all in one go. I can't do that because there's nowhere to go to start with most of the time. But apart from that, I do miss the congregation, and I don't like being away for that length of period of time. But what I'm saying is, I'd be away 2 weeks then, another week back, and we're into the work for the winter. We're into the work for the winter, and we need to serve by faith. Serve by faith, and leaning upon him will help us to serve by faith. And in your own individual circumstances, whatever they are, you know, sometimes the circumstances nearly have taken over all of your thinking, and it's very hard to have faith and to go on in the work because so many things occupying your mind Well, it says there that the Lord is the Lord that holdeth our soul. Eternally you're secure, and he suffereth not your feet to be moved. Just keep leaning, and lean hard. Remember a minister saying one time that there had been particular difficulty in God's work somewhere or other, and this person had told him, he says, we've learned to lean hard. We've learned as a congregation to lean hard upon the Lord. Leaning will help us to serve by faith. Leaning will help strengthen our fervor in God's work. One companion that we're always conscious will be with us whenever we seek to do God's work is temptation. It's always there in some form or another. And I could mention just a few of them. One temptation is to, well, I don't want to use the word lazy, but for slothfulness to creep in, to be at ease. In Zion, holidays are important, we all know that, but we're not on holidays all the time. And a worldly spirit can creep in, and you think, well, I'll just let it go at that, and I'll just be slothful. We know what the Bible says about the field of the slothful, how the wall was broken down, and there were the weeds there, and the nettles and the thorns were there, which is an indication that the soil was very rich. It had great possibility, but it hadn't been brought to its potential because it was the field of the slothful. And here's something to think about, folks. The cults are extremely busy. I've had them on the door tell me that they work overtime and they do this, that, and the other so that they can get free time to go out and peddle a religion that offers no hope. They didn't tell me that now, but that's what they're doing because there's no Christ in it and there's no salvation. But they make the effort and they are extremely busy. And folks, it encourages me to see people that are interested and that are not slothful. And I know it encourages you as well. That is one of the temptations. It's a temptation because the flesh likes ease. But there's another temptation as well, and that is allowing the spirit of the world around you to make you better. And you see hardness and you think, well, the only way that I can possibly deal with this is just to become hard myself. Wrong. The Lord was writing there and gave the word in Hebrews 12 and the verse 15. It says here, the writer says, looking diligently, lest any man fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And where it says looking diligently, it is a reference to the word which means watchtower. It has to be carefully done, because this is a very real thing. Root of bitterness springing up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And the word defiled there is a word which carries the meaning of spreading like pollution. And you know, if silage effluent gets into a little river and it spreads all through the river, it kills all the life in the river. And that's what the word here is saying about this bitterness. And this is not something that I want to just sweep aside and say, well, we couldn't possibly become better. Of course we could. The world is a bitter place. There's hardness everywhere you look. And Christians are to be meek people. Does not mean weak, but meek. And they are not to allow this bitterness to make them hard. And I want to say something which is not easy to say. I could take you to a believer today who has become really, really hard. Didn't come to meetings hardly anymore at all, several times a year. That's about the height of it. And there's a hardness there, and the world has, that spirit has crept in. Well, the world's hard. I'm just going to be as hard as it. Christians will be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we have to have that spirit of meekness about us. But isn't it easy when you go out there, maybe you in your business or in your work, and you see the hardness, and before you know, you think, well, the only way I'm going to be able to survive with this is just become hard too. That's wrong. We need to keep looking to him, keep leaning upon him. And when I feel that I'm going to be slothful or I'm going to develop the spirit of the world, to lean harder upon him. Another temptation is doubt. It's there every day. Every day. We had a great week with the children and the Bible club, and it was great to have them all in, and a good number come back on the Sunday night for the special meeting here. But already in my mind there's some doubts, but I wonder how many will come in September. Dozens of them around the area, you know, McGabbery and Ballinderry and Agali here and around the country lanes, dozens of them. And yet the thoughts in my mind, what have none come? Doubt. It's a very real temptation. Something that sometimes we can be plagued with, but leaning will help strengthen our fervor. And when our fervor for God's work is strengthened, the slothfulness will go away, will not be interested in the worldly spirit, and we work with an expectant heart. The doubt will be chased away as well. So you see how important this leaning is. A leaning there, as it says in the verse 9, who holdeth our soul in life and suffers not our feet to be moved. He is there to be leaned upon. Leaning will help us to serve with fervor. But leaning will also help us to see, and this is important, it will help us to see that we are favored. It's important that you never lose sight of that. The fact that God has favored his people. But we can lose sight of it. It says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 4. It says there, for I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as we were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle. Or the word spectacle there is a word from which we get the word theater. Are made a theater, a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto the present are we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and as are the offscouring of all things unto this day. The apostle here is saying, the world will have you think that you're nothing. That you're valueless. And this again for young people, growing up as a young Christian, it is natural to want some degree of favor with people. And it's very, very disheartening for young people when constantly you're being met with this. Looking upon you and your Christianity as the offscouring of all things. It's not getting any easier for young people. But remember this, leaning upon him will help us to see that we're favored. And we want to see that we're favored. We have to be looking to his word, and we have to be in among his people and seeking his face, and he will show us that we are favored. You can see in this Psalm 66 that the psalmist is full of the joy of the Lord when he's saying there, he begins, make a joyful noise unto God. He's full of joy at the very start. And in the verses on down there, as I said, come and see the works of the Lord. In verse 8, O bless our God, ye people. He's so full of gladness because he has seen that he's favored. He has seen that he is favored. And maybe in times of weakness, you felt, well, I'm no match for the adversary. And I had an opportunity to witness and I didn't take it. And I could have lived better for him and I didn't do it. And today maybe you feel that you're just a little bit hemmed in. And that in your heart you want to be at your best for him, and you know that the world out there needs us to try to be at our best for him. But as far as you are concerned, you feel sometimes you just want to close the door and shut the world out and stay in your closet. You can't do that. The Lord hasn't saved us to do that. He saved us not to take us out of the world, but to leave us here and to fill us with the Spirit in order that we might continually know that we're favored by him. And more than that, remember Psalm 126, where it says there that the heathen said, the Lord hath done great things for them. Why? Because they saw it. They saw that these were a favored people. And brethren and sisters, we need to continually see that. You need it, and so do I. You need to know that you're favored. That we're favored when we, number one, when we feel the pangs of plowing a lonely furrow for him. All our circumstances are different. Your workplace might be very different from somebody else's. But it says over there in 2 Timothy 4, verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul ought to have had plenty of friends, but there were places he went when he didn't have too many. He says there, and he's writing to Timothy, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. See, the Lord is reliable. You can lean upon him when maybe some you thought you could lean on, they're gone. You can lean upon him. Strengthened me, and that by me preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, a reference to him being spared from the sword of Nero at that time. And he said there in the next verse, and the Lord shall deliver me. The Lord shall deliver me. Maybe you're heading out tomorrow. I'm on holiday from tonight and you're not. And for some people I know that places of employment can bring you into situations where you feel that you are indeed plowing a lonely furrow. Maybe some of you younger people thinking of going, maybe it's universities down the line or a new school. It's a lonely place. But if we're leaning upon him, it will help us to see that we're favored when the pangs of loneliness come. We don't like them. We don't like feeling isolated. But leaning will also help us to see that we're favored when we feel that we're making no difference. I think every Christian who every person who is genuinely saved and they want to serve the Lord, one thing that's in their mind is, whatever they're doing for the Lord, they want to make a difference. Well, over there in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says there, Ephesians chapter 3, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and breadth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now in verse 17, where it says being rooted and grounded, being rooted there is a reference to a huge tree, and tied to the figure here behind the word is of a great tree that's roots have spread away out, and no matter how the wind blows or how stormy it is, that tree, it still stays there. It stays there. And when you feel that you're not making a difference, you feel like not staying there. You think, well, it's me and I need to do something because I feel that I'm not making a difference. Well, the answer is there in the words that we read, being filled with all the fullness of God. Being filled with all the fullness of God. And if that is the case, or as in verse 17 it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, means not only to dwell deep, but also means to dwell to the extent that he settles your heart. Settles your heart. And that is the answer. And when this is the case here, it'll be up to God to make the difference. Because you will be living in a way when you're filled with all the fullness of God and Christ is dwelling in your heart deeply. and you're steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, whether you see a difference or not. Remember, it's God that gives the increase. That's it. It's God that gives the increase. And don't we need to lean upon Him? We need to lean upon Him in order that we can see His favor when we feel the pangs of loneliness, that we can see His favor when we feel that we're making no difference, that we know His favor in stirring our hearts and giving to us a burden. God's work can't be effective without men and women that have a burden for the lost. It says up there in Acts 17, you know all about the book of Acts, a great deal was going on at that time. It says in verse 16, now, while Paul waited for them, for the others, that is, at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Sometimes I ask myself, and I have to check myself, when you see all that is around you, the material, the worship of material things and all the ungodliness that seems to be so prevalent these days, when you see that around you, do you feel angry? Sometimes. Do you feel like turning your back on it? Sometimes. But I must pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be like Paul. Help me to be stirred. It says there, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore he disputed in the synagogue, and they were. He didn't go in looking for a row, but he went in and started a conversation there, and he sought to point men and women away from religion towards Christ. That it was Christ that they needed. In fact, the word stirs there. The word carries the thought of a contention. Now, when you and I think of that in the work of God, we're not going to pick a row with anyone. But we have a message. We have a message. And if our heart is stirred, we will really want to spread that message. And we will really want other people to embrace the message and turn to the Savior. And for that, we need to be leaning upon Him to see Him helping us. To see Him helping us, because, again, it's a very human, natural thing to be a bit selfish. And to think, well, I don't care if my heart's stirred or not. I'm doing all right, but I don't really want to have my heart stirred in the way that Paul's heart was stirred, in a way that I will put myself out to make sure that if God was to call me out to meet Him right now, I would be able to say to the Lord, I've done what I could. I've done what I could. Leaning upon Him will help us to see that we're favored. When we feel the pangs of loneliness, we feel that we're making no real difference, when we need our hearts to be stirred. But I just want to finish off by saying that this leaning, you can know it in every area of your life. Not just when it comes to doing the work of God, but in times of sickness, in times of anxiety. And being anxious is something, I think, which affects all of our lives now. I read what it says in Psalm 33. It says, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. In the Word, and we haven't time now to go into it, Christians are referred to as the apple of God's eye. And the apple in the Bible is often associated with beauty. And the Lord looks upon His church, those who are saved, the Christian church, as a thing of beauty, and His eye is ever upon them. That does not just mean when I'm preaching. It means if there's something really troubling me, or something that has gone wrong in your life, His eye is ever upon us, and He still sees you as part of His church as a thing of great beauty. Good to be able, brethren and sisters, as we soon come to the commencement of the work for the winter again, good to be able to lean upon Him. Upon Him who's not only able to preserve His people, but one who's able to do far exceeding abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. I trust that as many of us have been doing, that we will continue to lean upon him. And as we look to him to do great things, because we know that great things are required if there's to be a change and the spiritual landscape is to be altered, great things are required. We are looking by faith to him, leaning upon him. May the Lord